Samuel, several different places to go this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Psalm chapter 78. With your third hand, Psalm chapter 106. First Samuel chapter 12, Psalm 78, and Psalm 106. I've got another reference, so I was going to say your pinky toe, but it's in the same chapter in Psalm 106, so I guess you just have to stick there. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Oh, wait a minute, I do have another one. So use your pinky toe and get 2 Peter chapter 1. We've got 1 Samuel 12, Psalm 78, Psalm 106, 2 Peter chapter 1. That's it, I promise you. Won't make you go any further. All right, how many of you are glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. No life like the saved life. Amen? I remember what it was like before I got saved, and I know what it's like now, and it's a whole lot better. And I can genuinely stand and say that there is no life like the saved life. There is no life like knowing Jesus Christ on a personal, one-on-one basis, having a friend to go with you wherever you go. You always got him with you. I don't have to worry about him being late. He's always on time. He's always right there with me. And He answers everything that I need. He gives me everything that I need. He supplies everything that I need, and even some of the things that I want and don't need. So, man, you can't ask for a better Savior. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 8. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 8. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord, their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Psalm 78. Psalm chapter number 78, verse number 8. Psalm 78, verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgat His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Psalm 106, verse number 13. Psalm 106, verse 12. Psalm 106, 12. Then believed they His words, they sang His praise. They soon forgat His works. They waited not for His counsel. Psalm 106, verse number 21. Verse number 21 says, they forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I ask you to please fill me with your Holy Spirit and do the work that I can't do. And I pray, Father, that your word would have free course and be glorified this morning. Bless these people that are here. I pray, God, that you'd give them what they need. I pray you'd give them the grace that they need to understand the things that they face each day and the things that they don't understand. I pray, God, that you would give them the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and that it would keep their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I thank you for this chance here. We pray for our pastor. We pray for his wife that you get them back to us safely. I pray you'd bless them while they're away. Bless their visit with their daughter and grandchildren. I pray, God, that you'd bless the services there. And I pray you'd give them a good time and get them back to us and help us to be faithful to pray for them. Lord, I pray for the families that are here this morning. I pray that you'd bless each one with each difficulty they face, each problem they face. I pray that you give them the grace to make it through and give them some understanding. Even though it may not be now, I pray you'd give them some understanding later on down the road and make it clear. Give them clear answers and make it clear from your word. We praise you and we thank you for your words this morning, and thank you for keeping a copy of it for us to be able to read and to believe and hold hold in our hearts. I pray, God, that you bless it now. And most of all, we pray for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, the rapture would happen today. I pray we'd hear the trumpet sound and be called out. And I pray that we'd get that over just as soon as possible so that we can get on with business and watch your Son reign and rule on this earth like he so rightfully deserves. And we thank you again for the Lord Jesus, and we pray, Lord, that you bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I purposely made you go through several references there because each one of them had something that was in common with the others. Anybody notice what it was? What was it? Somebody forgot God somewhere, didn't they? Somebody forgot the Lord. Somebody forgot what he had done for them. Somebody forgot his wondrous works in Egypt. Somebody forgot his grace. Somebody forgot all the things that God had done for them throughout the ages and throughout their lives. Someone forgot what God had done for them. And in turn, God punished them for it. And they had troubles. They had problems. Things happened to them. They didn't understand it until they realized we forgot the Lord. We forgot the Lord. Whenever you read in Revelation chapter 3, you read about the church that forgot the Lord and they left their first love. And the Lord says, repent and do the first works. Return. Go back. Go back to the place where you first found me at. Go back to where you loved me at. Go back to the place because you've forgotten something. You've left something behind. You've left me, the most important thing, behind. And you forgot me, and you forgot what I've done for you. Has God done something good for you this morning? Has God been good to you? Yeah, he's been good to you. You say, how do you know? You're sitting here this morning, and you're breathing. And you have life. You have something. You're in church. And you have a good pastor that leads you. And he believes the book that's sitting in front of you. And he preaches the book. Amen. That's a blessing to have. That's a good thing to have. This is the best church in the world, right here. I don't know if you believe that or not. I've been in a lot of churches, over 300 churches. And out of 300 churches, I can tell you this right here is home for me. This is home. This is the best church in the world, in the planet, on this earth. This is the best church. You say, why is that? Because it's where God wants me at. It's where God put me at. It's where God took me and placed me and said, you're staying here whether you like it or not. Some of you I don't like, but I have to love you. Amen? And vice versa. Some of you don't like me, but bless God, you got to love me somehow. God put me here, and I'm happy to be here. And I love this place. And this is a blessing from God. God's done a lot of good stuff. The heat's on, and I can feel it somewhat, and it's getting a little warmer now that I'm preaching. But I have heat at home. I got plenty of kerosene. Amen. I got plenty of wood to throw in the fireplace. I got gas in my vehicles. I got food to put in my belly. I got a nice bed to lay down. I got shoes that are on my feet. I've got a hat that I can put on my head, my bald head, to make it warm. Amen, Brother Bull. Amen. Jason, same thing for you, brother. It's nice to have the blessings that God's given us, because he's been good to all of us. And I can look across the room and I can say, he's been good to you. He's been good to you and you and you and you and you. And you've had trouble and you've had trouble and you've had trouble. And this problem happened in your home, and this problem happened at work for you. And you lost this loved one here, and you lost this brother, this sister here. You lost this parent here. But God has been good. I heard Brother Rex Harrison preach a message one time about the goodness of God. He said, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Being good is part of God's character. That's who He is. He is good. The Lord is good. It doesn't matter my circumstances. It doesn't matter my problems. Even though I'm having trouble, God's still good to me. He's still good to everybody else because that's who He is. And it's nice to look back and think about all the great things that God's done for me sometimes. But too many times in the hustle and bustle of life, we get going, we get moving, we get busy, we do this, we do that, and we forget what happened however long ago it was for you. And you kind of forget about the day that God saved you. The old song says, I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. And I cannot tell you how and I cannot tell you why, but He'll tell me all about it in the by and by. I could take you to a place right now at 902 IC King Road in Seymour, Tennessee. I could take you to the church where it's at now, and I could show you the altar where I knelt down and asked the Lord to save me. I could take you to the little room where I was sitting at when I got saved. I didn't get saved at the altar. I got saved sitting in the back pew of that little block building church. I could take you right to the place, and I could say, that's where Jesus Christ came walking down the aisles, and He poked me, and He tapped me right on the old shoulder and said, hey, don't you think you'd like me? And I can tell you where I got saved at. That was the best day of my life. I've had some good days since then, but boy, that right there topped them all. That was a good day because that's when God saved me. And I had joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? I had joy. I mean, just bursting out of me. As soon as I went to work the next day, this old heathen dude that I worked with, I said, you know what I did yesterday? He said, well, I said, I got saved. And he went, what? I said, I got saved. Jesus Christ saved me because I was full of joy. Something happened to me. It was wonderful. You remember the day you got saved? Do you remember that? How often do you think about that? How often do we think about the day that we got saved? You ever have trouble? Anybody ever get down, depressed? Anybody ever get worried? Anybody ever have things come into your mind and thoughts come into your mind and you think, I just don't understand how I'm going to get through this, and you just have trouble and trouble and trouble. During that time, are you thinking about the day that you got saved? No. I'm not. You might be, but I'm not. I'm thinking about the trouble that I'm in right now because I don't care about nothing else. I'm worried about my problem. I'm worried about my trouble. I'm worried about the heartache that I feel. And I do the same thing that the children of Israel did. They forgot the Lord their Maker. They forgot His wonderful works to the children of men. They forgot the fact that He brought them out of bondage. They forgot the fact that He brought them out of Egypt under Pharaoh, a taskmaster. And they forgot the fact that He had brought them out of all that mess. And they get into the wilderness and they walk around there for 40 years and God feeds them with just this magical stuff from heaven. It just shows up. Where did that come from? And then Moses walks up to a rock and takes a stick and smacks it and water comes out of it. I bet you that was some good water. I bet you that was nice, clean, pure water. And buddy, when they drank it, I bet you they were happy. And they saw that and they said, oh, God's provided again. And then the manna came down the next day and they said, oh, praise the Lord, He's provided again. And the first trouble come up and they said, where's God? Where's God? Why hasn't He provided this for us this time? And then they started griping and complaining and murmuring. And they forgot the fact that God had just blessed them right over here. But they dwell on what the problem is today. And they dwell on the trouble they're facing today. And they dwell on themselves. Their self-pity. And they forget the fact that God's been so good back here. Been so good. You know, you can do one thing to somebody that's out of the way and they'll hate you forever. But they'll never remember the 150 things that you did for them that was wonderful and that was gracious. You do one thing and they'll shuck you off forever. They will. They will. That's people. That's human nature. That's how we are. That's how we're made. Sinful nature. Sinful nature. And these people walk through the wilderness and God provides and God provides and God provides, and then they turn their heads and they say, where's God? They forgot Him. And you know, you and I are the same way. Folks, we are the exact same way. You go through life, And boy, God's good. And you know, you have your little mountaintops here and you have great times and God's wonderful. And oh, it's just, you know, wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord, shouting the victory. God's so good. I got plenty of money in the bank and I got all this stuff going on and I got this going on. Oh, I mean, you know, everything's wonderful and God's so good. And then something happens and you kind of reach the little peak there and you start on the downward slope. And then it's like, yeah, God's good. But boy, this sure hurts. And then pretty soon it's, man, this hurts. Oh. Yeah, but God's good. And then pretty sure it's just, man, this hurts. And it's over with. What happened? What happened? Anybody in here remember where you were at before you got saved? How about that? How many of you people have been saved for 20 years or more? You remember where you were at before you got saved? Amen. After I got saved, I used to always think, I always wonder, why do these other guys have these wonderful testimonies about God saving them? I mean, drunkards and harlots, just horrible people, just miserable, low-life, wretched scum of the earth. And God came in, saved them, and man, I mean, everything changed, and wonderful. And you listen to them, you think, wow, what a testimony. And then you look at me, and I'm thinking, well, I was raised in church. I never did any of that stuff. How come my testimony's not as good? But you know what? God saved me from the same pit that He saved them from. It's a pit of despair. It's a pit of sin that I was wallowing in. And He saved me from the same thing that He saved them from. It's good to be saved. It's nice to be saved. But it's easy to forget about God in a busy world. Amen? You know one of the main jobs of a preacher when he stands up? He's trying to get you to not forget about God. He's trying to get you to not forget God. Don't forget about Him, okay? Most preachers, they get up and they try to give you some kind of a sermonette about how to make your life better, okay? I'll tell you how to make your life better. Get on your knees and get in touch with the one that made you, and He can make your life better. I don't have the answers. I honestly wish sometimes that I did have the answers. I don't have them. This book's got them all, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got them all. He's the one that has the answers. I wish I could help you sometimes. Now, sadly, there's some things you face that I've never faced, and I just don't know how to deal with it. But I can tell you the one that can help you, He's the same one that saved you many years ago. He's the same one that took you into His family, and we'll get into that shortly. But you know, one of the biggest jobs for a preacher is to just get people, don't forget that He's there. Back in the Old Testament, whenever those prophets would get up, their main purpose was to get people to look at God and not themselves and not their homes and not their nations, but to look at God. Remember who God is. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. You know why we street preach? Because I don't want those people to forget God. You know why? Because I live in the same nation they do. And if my nation forgets who God is, I'm in this nation. And it's going to be destroyed, which is exactly what's happening. That's what's happening. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, I'm going to assume that I'm preaching to a bunch of Bible believers this morning. Is that true? If that's true, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, then we're on the right page. So, when we go out and we do things for the Lord, when you live your life for the Lord, let me just ask you a question. Why do you read your Bible? I don't want you to answer that. I just want you to think about it. Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you pass out door hangers on Sunday afternoons when it's not -5 degrees? Why do you pass out gospel tracts? Why do you come to church? Why do you do these things? What's it for? Is it because it's just a habit? Or is it so you can meet up and have a nice social gathering with your friends? What's it for? Is it for the glory of God? We get so busy doing things, and we get so busy and so busy and so busy, and it's not necessarily that we forget about why we're doing them, but we forget about who we're doing them for and who's behind the scenes orchestrating things. And we forget that He's there. This morning, I was trying to figure out the title for a message this morning, so I just named it, Don't Forget God. But after I started thinking about it, I thought, you know what, a better title for it would be A Second Look at Grace. Take a second look. Take a second look. Look at it the first time and say, yeah. But look back and take a second look at it. Go back and look at God's grace in your life. I want to take you back this morning, okay? I know that Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward, right? And we go forward, we press toward the mark. But even Paul takes you back sometimes and says, boy, God saved you. Don't you remember where you were at before this? Even Paul does that. So take you back for just a little bit about some things that used to happen back in the day, we'll say. Before you got saved, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, he said, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. I want to stir you up this morning. I do. I have a hidden agenda. I want to stir you up this morning. I want to make you smile. Can you smile? If Joel Osteen can smile, you can smile. You have something that's worth smiling about. Amen. Peter said, I want to stir you up. How's he going to stir you up? He says, by putting you in remembrance. You need to remember some things. Jesus told that church in Revelation 3, he said, you need to remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember and go back. You need to go back just a little bit of time. If you've been saved for a month, you need to go back to 2 months. If you've been saved for 5 years, go back to 5.5 years. Go back to the prior days of salvation. Go back to where you used to be at. And look at what your life was like. God thought so much of this stuff that he told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You need to be talking about God in your home. You need to be bringing up Jesus Christ in your home. You need to be bringing up Scripture in your home. You need to be bringing up God's goodness in your home. Your grandparents need to get those little babies and sit them on your knee and say, son or daughter, whatever the case may be, little one, let me just tell you a story and tell them about God's grace in your life. That will affect them and change them for eternity. You need to take them and tell them. Let me tell you what God did for Grandpa, honey. Let me tell you what God did for Grandma, honey. You dads, you need to take your kids. I don't care if they're 2 years old or 22 years old. You need to sit them down and say, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you what God did for Daddy one day. I'll tell you what God did for me. He saved me. He took me from a place where I had no happiness and no joy and nothing, and He gave me something worth living for. He gave me a life. And you take them and you teach them. You teach them that stuff. You need to put them in remembrance of how God took care of you and how God saved you. Now, the children of Israel, they forgot God. You ask the question, how could they do that after everything that God's done for them? I got a better question for you. How could you do that? And how could I do that after everything God's done for us? Yeah, that gets a little bit closer to home. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. Go back just a little bit. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You were alienated. Anybody know what the word alienated means? What does it mean to be an alien? And I don't mean, you know, the little UFO, the little pinhead looking dude, you know, that comes out with the weird black eyes, you know. I don't mean that. What does it mean to be an alien? Anybody know what it means to be an alien? It means to be estranged. It means to be withdrawn from, or a stranger to. A stranger. A stranger. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I think about Acts chapter 27, whenever that shipwreck happened, and Paul was there with all those people, and they were, you know, they had this horrible storm that had happened, they're going through this thing, and Paul says at one time, he said, and all hope that we should be saved was lost. They had no hope. The storm was so bad, the things were going so wrong that all hope was gone. It was all lost. They had no hope. And they knew, we're going to die. We have no hope. No hope. This is it. This is it. Ephesians 4:18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Colossians chapter 1, 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." You know what you were before you got saved? You were a stranger. You were an enemy to God. You were a stranger to Him. He didn't know you, and you didn't know Him. It's like, you know, the salesman that walks up to the door and knocks on the door. You're a little bit leery to open the door, aren't you? Why? Because he's a stranger. He's an alien. He's different from you. He's alienated from your family. He's not allowed to come inside that house. He has to stay outside. You don't want him to come inside your house because he may take something that doesn't belong to him. He may hurt one of your family members. He may steal something from you. You don't want a stranger to come into your house, do you? You want to keep him outside. You know what happened whenever you were lost, whenever I was lost? I couldn't come into God's house, could I? It didn't matter how many times I banged on the door. Didn't matter how much time I knocked. Didn't matter how many telegrams I sent. Didn't matter how many phone calls I made. Didn't matter how many text messages I sent to him. I could not come in the house. I was not allowed to come in there because that's where family belongs. And I couldn't come in there. But boy, the day that I got saved, something happened. And the day that you got saved, something happened. I'm no longer an alien anymore. And I'm no longer a stranger. And I'm no longer an enemy. I'm part of the family now. God took me when I was cast out there and nobody else wanted me. And God picked me up and He washed me off just like He did the nation of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 16, if I'm not mistaken. And He saw him out there and He says, "None I pitied thee. None I pitied thee. Nobody wanted you. You were in your filthiness. You were in your blood. Nobody wanted you. You were just a breathing shame laying there. Nobody wanted you, but I did. But I did. And I came by you and I picked you up and I washed you off and I suppled you and I took care of you and I raised you just like my own." And 1 John chapter 3 verse number 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him." Now we're the sons of God. I have a new father. I have a new family. I got brothers and sisters that I can fellowship with. And I don't stand outside the door banging on the door saying, "Please let me in." And he says, "No, sorry, you're not allowed to come in." The butler comes up to the door and opens it up, cracks it up, says, "Get away, we don't want you. You're like a stray dog. Get away." And God took me in. One day the door opened, and it wasn't the butler standing there, it was Jesus Christ. And he said, "Come on in. I got you now." You know what? That good Samaritan was walking along the way. Everybody else passed by the old bird that was laying there hurt and messed up. And they passed by and they looked at him and got on the other side. But the Lord Jesus Christ came by. And he came by and he came by walking and he saw it and he said, "You know what? Let me help you out." The good Samaritan is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he picked him up and he said, "Let me clean you up. Let me take care of you." Now that's what God did for you. That's what God did for you. No matter what you look like today, no matter what you have today, no matter anything you own today, you didn't have what you have now when you were lost. You didn't have it. You didn't have those blessings. You were a stranger to the family, and you weren't part of the family. How many of you remember the weird name Mephibosheth? I preached on that. It's been, I don't know, several months back, and I had some people come up to me and said, "We have never heard that before." And I thought, man, what a story. Nobody wanted him. You know where he lived at? He lived in the dump. He lived in the garbage place, the place where people dump their garbage. That's where he lived. And David sent the servant Ziba down and he said, "You go fetch Mephibosheth and bring him up here." Mephibosheth was David's enemy because he was from the family of Saul. And Saul tried to kill David, didn't he? But David said, "I made a promise to Jonathan, Saul's son, because I loved him. I loved him as my own soul." And so he took care of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't do anything to deserve the grace. He didn't do anything that was worthy of being brought up to the king's palace. But when David brought him in, you know what he did? He made him part of the family. He made him part of the family. And he said, "You can come and eat the same food that I eat. Matter of fact, you can sit right next to me at the dinner table. The king, you can sit right next to me. Mephibosheth, you can have my bed. I can sleep in the servants' quarters. You can have my bed." It's the nice one that's just right down the hall. You can have that one. Mephibosheth, you can have my clothes. You can have all my clothes. They're nice and warm. They're the best you can find. The finest works. You can't find any nicer clothes. You can have those clothes. You can have my chariot. You can have my bedroom. You can have this house. It's all yours. You know why? Because you're part of the family. You're part of the family now. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing to be saved and to be brought into the family of God. I used to have a father. His name was Satan. And I used to worship him. And I used to serve him. Unknowingly, I served him. And I got my eyes open. You were alienated. You were in darkness. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 12. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. You used to be in darkness. Darkness. Colossians 1 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You cannot word anything better than that. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You got light. You were under the power of darkness. You know what it's like to be in a dark room and the light comes on and you can see everything clearly now. We've talked about this before, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I see things now that I never saw before, and they were right in front of my face. I just great things. Anybody know what it's like to open your Bible and start to read, and the Holy Spirit say, "Did you see that? Did you see that right there? Go back and look at that again." And you go back and look at it again and say, "I've never seen that. I know I have read this passage, but I never saw that." That's light. David said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." It's light. And I'm no longer in darkness anymore. I'm afraid of the dark. I like to have a light on when I'm sleeping. I don't like the dark. Scary. Honestly, it is. I mean, you know, if that makes me a coward, I guess I'm a coward. I like light. I like it. I don't like darkness. Why not? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I spent a lot of years working the night shift, walking through the projects and walking through some pretty rough places. And darkness is when all the creeps come out. Darkness is when all the boogers come out. Darkness is when all the stuff happens. If you go into the projects anywhere from about 6 o'clock in the morning till about 6 o'clock in the evening, the streets are clear. Nothing going on. The boy, dusk hits, and they start walking out of their little holes. And they come out, and you'll see them standing out there. I don't care if it's summertime. They'll be out there with long jackets on, thick jackets, walking around, looking around. And they'll stand on the corners. They just kind of look around, you know. And the first cop car that pulls into the project, they all, well, just like cockroaches, flat, just gone. Scatter. They're gone. They like that darkness. They like that darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither will he come to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why people won't come to the Bible? Because they don't want to be convicted. And they don't want for their deeds, their evil deeds, to be reproved. I used to be in darkness. But I know what it's like to see the light now. I see blessings now that I never saw before. I have friends now that I never had before. I have a home now that I never had before. I got family now that I never had before. I got a good life because God showed me the light. You used to be dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We read a verse, Ephesians 4:18. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." From the life of God. I have life. And I don't just have eternal life. I have abundant life. I have abundant life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I don't just have life. I have abundant life. And I have eternal life. I have God's life running through my veins. And I'm never going to die because I'm going to live forever. This body's going to lay down, but I'm going to live forever. Did you have comfort before you got saved? How many of you have went through trouble since you've been saved? Did you have comfort when you went through that trouble?
Yeah.
What about before you got saved? There are times that I can go back before I was saved and I can think about different things that I faced and different troubles that I had to go through. And, I mean, you know, some of them I wouldn't even tell you. But there's some things that I went through, and I can go back right now. I can think back, and my mind is stirred, and I can go back to when I went through those troubles, and I had nobody to give me help. I could go to people and say, what do you think I should do? And they couldn't give me help. It didn't matter what they said, I had no help. It didn't help. It didn't give me comfort. It didn't give me peace to know that, hey, this person said that I can do this. That still didn't give me peace. I was missing something. I was lacking something. And it didn't matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of it. And when I got saved, I found out the next time I went through some kind of a trouble, I was going through a problem, but I had something on the inside that wasn't shaken. And I had something on the inside that wasn't wavering and wasn't tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You know what I'm saying? I had peace. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than calm, right? I think the word says, far away in celestial like strains it unceasingly falls, or my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. That's what I have now. I have comfort. I have somebody that can help me. I have somebody that can strengthen me and put his arms around me. I've been in a prayer closet before and crying and don't know what to do about something. And literally, almost, it's almost as if I could feel physical arms wrapping around me. And that was the Holy Spirit wrapping his arms around me saying, I'm right here with you and it's okay. If you've never experienced that, I can't tell you how that feels. I can't tell you. You just have to experience it yourself. I've been down at an altar before, crying, don't know what I'm going to do. God, help me. You have to help me. And like that, it's gone. The burden was rolled away. The burden was rolled away. Just like the day that I got saved. I mean, I can remember sitting in the pew, and as soon as I bowed my head and said, Lord, bam, it was gone. I didn't have to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell. And I know I deserve hell, but Jesus died for my sins. I knew all that stuff. All I had to do was say, Lord, just like that, peace and comfort swept over my soul. No more sweating, and no more trembling, no more fear. It was gone, just like that. I mean, just like you flipped on a light switch. It was gone. I never had that before, but I got it now. I used to be far off. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ brought me near to the Father. Anybody remember what it was like before you got saved? You know, there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And Jesus cleansed every one of them, didn't he? And they all went on their way rejoicing and happy because of what he had done for them. 9 of them forgot what he'd done, but one remembered. And he came back, he came all the way back into town and he said, hey, Jesus, I just want to tell you thank you for what you did for me. Man alive, I just want to say thanks. I just want to tell you thank you. I don't care if nobody else tells you thank you. I just want to tell you thank you for cleaning me up and bringing me from where I was and giving me the condition that I have now. That's gratefulness. That's gratitude to somebody that took care of you. Now that's gratitude to someone that took care of me and took care of you. Too many times we lift ourselves up on a high pedestal and think we're really something, but you forget where you were at before you got saved. And we're not really thankful for where we're at now. But if you go back just a little while and look at where you used to be and where you're at now, it'll make you thankful. It'll make you different. A lady named Jenny Hussey or Husey in 1921, she penned the words to a song, says, lead me to Calvary. How many of you know the song? King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Boy, that's an honest and a sincere prayer of somebody that doesn't want to forget. I don't want to forget where God brought me from. And I don't want to forget where I'm at right now and what He's done for me. He brought me out of Egypt. He delivered me from bondage. I was in shackles. I was in prison. And He brought me out. He brought me out. The song says you were in prison and that thine eye diffused a quickening ray, right? And my chains fell off, my heart was free, and I rose, went forth, and I followed Thee. I was lost. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. How many of you know the song, He Came to Me? Anybody ever hear that song before? How many of you know who Rex Harrison is? Anybody ever hear Rex Harrison sing that song? Anybody know what kind of a life Rex Harrison had before he got saved? Boy, what a wicked, filthy lifestyle. And he got saved and God took that guy and completely changed him. And he sat behind a piano with crippled legs and would sing, He Came to Me. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast a crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far, and I cried, Dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. But He came to me. He came to me. Amen. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's a good Savior. That's a good Savior. I think it'd do you good this morning to pray and say, God, remind me. Show me where I used to be. And show me where I'm at today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank You for this time. Lord, we're grateful for the blessings You've given us. I thank You for saving me. I thank You for the people that are here this morning. I pray somehow, Lord, that this would be in encouragement and an exhortation, that it might bring some peace and that it might bring some help and some comfort. Help us to be like the one leper that came back and said, thank You for what You've done. Lord, we weren't worthy. We didn't have anything to give You except for sin. And a life stained full of it. But thank You. And I thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for the day that You saved me. I'm thankful that I have a day that I can go back to and I can look and say, I'm saved. And I don't worry about that anymore. Thankful for the peace that You gave me. Thank You, God, so much for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank You for His great sacrifice for our sins. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She's going to play. If you have a need of the altar, come pray. Father, we thank You again for this day, and thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for the birds singing. Thank You for ears that function and hear, eyes that can see, and our legs that walk, and hands that can move, arms that can move. Thank You for health. Thank You for life. Thank You for breath. And I pray You'd help us and give us understanding every day, and don't let us forget, Lord. Don't ever let us forget where we came from and how You were the one that brought us there. And thank You, Lord, for being good to us. I pray You bless these folks here and take care of them. And Lord, when they face troubles, even in the midst of it, Lord. I mean, even in the midst of the winds howling and the rain and the hail beating against them, I pray, God, you'd give them an inside eternal peace, knowing that you are their maker and you are their savior. If there's one person here that's not saved this morning, that doesn't have that peace and doesn't have that calm assurance of knowing that you're their savior, I pray you'd deal with their heart today and make it clear to them. Make it clear. Show it to them so they can understand. And we thank you again for your blessings and pray you'd please bless tonight's service, and I pray you'd bless our families and bless this church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.